The attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th is an example of the consequences of domestic extremism. NPR has been looking into the methods extremists use to attract new members, and as NPR investigative correspondent Tom Dreisbach reports, some leading extremists have weaponized humor to spread hate.
Proud Boys are known for getting in violent street brawls, allegedly conspiring to storm the Capitol, and this is their theme song.
Proud of your boy, I'll make you proud of your boy.
This musical number comes from the Broadway version of Disney's Aladdin. It is the actual inspiration for the group's name. And one of their initiation rituals involves members getting lightly punched in the stomach while they try to name five breakfast cereals. Then there's the nicknames. One Proud Boys leader goes by the nickname Rufio Panman. That might be familiar if you ever watched the 1991 family movie, Hook. It sounds harmless, but the Proud Boy who goes by Rufio is actually named Ethan Nordine. A federal judge found that he poses such a danger to the community that he should be locked up before his trial for conspiracy and other charges related to the Capitol riot. In part, that's because of the violent anti-government rhetoric he used, like this.
So when police officers or government officials are breaking the law, what are we supposed to do as the people? Discourse? What are we supposed to debate? No, you have to use force.
Not really the kind of thing you might expect from someone who takes his name from a 90s movie set in the Peter Pan universe. And that might be the point.
I think the absurdity and the ridiculousness of the Proud Boys is a very conscious strategy.
This is Cassie Miller. She's with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
It distracts from what their actual political ideology is and from their violence, because if you point it out, it's like, well, they're so goofy.
The founder of the Proud Boys, Gavin McInnes, told me in an email that the media, including NPR, willfully ignores jokes. He said the Proud Boys are, quote, funny dudes, not Nazis. But researchers like Miller say the Proud Boys have used that tactic effectively to avoid legal consequences for years before the Capitol riot. But it also can serve as a recruitment tool. Nick Fuentes is a 22-year-old who's gained followers among younger parts of the far right. He's known for spreading white supremacist propaganda through cartoonish memes. And he said explicitly that he uses irony to appeal to people his own age. Here's Fuentes talking on one of his live-streamed shows in 2020.
I'm speaking the language of other Zoomers. You know, if you're a young person online, this is the language of our generation.
Fuentes knows that certain stances will get him kicked out of even some far-right circles. So when he engages in, say, Holocaust denial, what he calls Holocaust revision, he's careful to portray it as a joke.
Irony is so important for giving a lot of, like, cover and plausible deniability for our views.
And it's a tactic that he and other extremists tell their followers to use. Here's Jared Holt, a fellow at the Atlantic Council who tracks online extremists like Fuentes.
A lot of these content creators will tell the audience explicitly when people say you're racist for liking this or thinking this, just laugh at them. They can't handle it. They're sensitive babies.
That tactic can be effective. Like in the case of UCLA student Christian Sikor. Sikor was a follower of Nick Fuentes, and a Japanese-American classmate named Una Flood told me they felt genuinely scared of Sikor, especially since Sikor was known for his self-proclaimed love of guns. But Flood worried that if they spoke up, they'd look like they just couldn't take a joke.
I definitely felt that sense of threat, and like I really hate to say it because it sounds so much like overblown, like snowflake, that we're just overreacting, you know?
In retrospect, it does not seem like an overreaction. Christian Sikor is now facing federal charges for allegedly storming the Capitol on January 6th. And court records say the FBI found a GoPro video of Sikor wearing a tactical helmet and pointing an AR-style rifle around his bedroom. Sikor has pleaded not guilty. There's a reason these tactics are especially effective with kids and young people.
Every kid naturally wants to push away from their parents.
This is Joanna Schroeder. She's a writer based in California and also a mom. And she's seen these alt-right memes pop up in her own kids' social media feeds.
The problem is that all of this kind of trolling behavior, some of it is harmless and goofy. And others of it is designed to look harmless and goofy, but will drive our kids' social media and YouTube algorithms toward alt-right and even more extremist content.
But of course, these problems did not start with the internet. Here's Jared Holt again of the Atlantic Council.
Humor has been part of extremist organizing forever. You could think back to the KKK dressed in white robes and calling themselves grand wizards. And so, I mean, it's really goofy stuff.
It's hard to imagine now, but historians have documented how very early on the Ku Klux Klan adopted almost absurd rituals. Their costumes and titles like dragons and ghouls and goblins were often seen by white officials as outlandish. They didn't take seriously the stories of attacks by hooded men in white sheets. But eventually, newspaper reporters and government investigators started documenting how those hooded men were in fact committing murder and other atrocities. They pulled back the Klan hood to see the terrorism and violence it masked. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News.